Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, guys, before we start today's show, you know, here at Part of the Problem, we want you to have amazing sex. We'd like you to have amazing sex, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. No prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required. Just better sex guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. It's easy to use, it'll help you last longer, and it'll give you more confidence. See what the buzz is all about for yourself. Grab a bottle along with all of your sexual wellness products, from specifically formulated arousal gels to supplements and more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. Go to promescent.com. No promo code needed, as they're offering free shipping with a 60-day money-back guarantee. One more time, that's promescent.com. They've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. Go check them out today at promescent.com. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. Look at us in the studio. I'm Dave Smith. Of course, I'm joined by Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the King of the Cocks, COVID Jesus. We're back. We're in the studio for the first time since, what, February 2020? Or maybe March 2020, but like the first week in March.
It's been a long stretch, dude.
Yeah, we've been doing them on the computer, but I'm in New York City for a little bit, so... Figured why not come on into the studio and do one old school style. It's a
hell yeah.
It's kind of a weird feeling. Anyway, so I've had a bit of a crazy few days. Apologize for this episode, the Monday's episode being a little bit delayed, and a whole bunch of crazy things going on. But everything's all right. But we're back here in the city. I think we're going to do a bunch of episodes in the studio over the next few weeks. So I'm happy. I love this studio. It's nice to see everybody. And
I like studio vibes.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Old school.
Pre-COVID-ing.
Old school, face-to-face, seeing people. Okay, so there's a bunch of stuff that I want to talk about on today's show. I did want to open, briefly, by just saying a couple words about Norm Macdonald, who we all just heard today died. Really, for all of us, and I'm speaking purely as a fan, I don't know Norm Macdonald or anything like that, it's just like out of nowhere, although I guess it wasn't in reality out of nowhere, but we are both comedians, and to me, Norm Macdonald is in the highest kingdom of comedians. I don't, you know, like people, there's no real, with stand-up comics, I don't really think there's like a best ever. There's just kind of like a class that you get to where you can't get any higher than that. Like that guy is as good as anyone. No one's better than him. And to me, Norm Macdonald was in that class. Just, I mean,
of just an incredible fucking comedian. Unbelievably, like, hilarious, unique, authentic, ballsy, just everything you'd want in a comedian. He was from such a like different, better generation, and that's shown even down to the fact that this guy was like battling cancer and just didn't care to talk about it. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, let me suffer in silence. And anyway, yeah, I've just seen so many people just sharing like some of his best fucking clips. Like, I'm sure you've seen a bunch just online, just people sharing them. So much like just funny fucking shit that he did over the years. So yeah, rest in peace to Norm Macdonald, and thoughts and prayers to his family and everything like that. But yeah, absolute comedic legend.
I agree 100%. I had the honor of seeing him once live in Caroline's. It was very rarely do I sit down and watch a comic do like a full hour, and like just beginning to end, unbelievable. And he's a personal favorite. Like, it's almost, it's sad to think I'm never going to hear any new Norm Macdonald.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luckily, there's so much online. And like, every couple months, I'll, like, just go on a deep dive of random Norm clips. And you just, like, you forget there's so much good Norm out there.
You'll never regret that. Yeah. You never regret going on, like, a fucking, oh, I'm just going to watch a bunch of Norm Macdonald shit, go on YouTube journey and just get lost in all of it. All of it. From the old Weekend Update stuff, his stand-up. His podcast had hilarious fucking bits on it. Just all of it. Real great. Sad to see that. You know, I would have liked to see, you know, another 20 years of fucking what Norm Macdonald had to say. Anyway, so just wanted to mention that up top. Yeah, rest in peace, Norm Macdonald. All right. So transitioning onto a more light topic, it was the 20-year anniversary of 9/11 the other day. And we missed, listen, 9/11 was sad, but no one as funny as Norm died in it. So, like, let's keep things in perspective here.
Yeah, it's not nearly as tragic.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's like all those people combined weren't as funny as Norm Macdonald. We missed the show there, so I know I'm a few days behind on this. By the way, I also meant to...
Well, 9/11's still sad, just to catch you up.
Yeah.
It's a full 20 years ago. Still a little sad.
Still sucks. Still, and turns out, we still have to remember. 20 years later, they're still insisting that we don't forget. Wanted to mention, I was supposed to record a podcast with Jack Murphy, which a lot of people have been very excited for us to do. I had to cancel it because I had some shit come up, but we'll definitely reschedule that soon. I like that guy a lot. I think he's cool, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Anyway, so I wanted to mention, well, I just felt like I had to kind of talk about this on the show a little bit because this is... on the topic of 9/11 and the kind of topic of what led to 9/11, and what motivated terrorists, I was bothered, as many people were, to see Tulsi Gabbard tweeted on 9/11, which I did respond to, anyway, I'll read what she tweeted, and then we could just talk about it for a minute. But she tweeted, "Let us never forget that it was the Islamist ideology which inspired the terrorist attacks and declaration of war against America on 9/11, and it is this Islamist ideology that continues to fuel terrorist attacks around the world." That was Tulsi Gabbard's tweet, and this. This drives me fucking crazy.
It's a religion thing. If we can just get rid of the Muslim religion, we're okay.
Yeah, I guess
so.
That's...
at least she's got a sensible approach here.
Yeah, well, that's a small undertaking. There's only over a billion of them. So probably closer to a billion and a half.
No, but they can continue to exist. We just have to get rid of the religion aspect.
Well, that's all we got to do is convert a billion and a half people.
China's already got factories for converting them. It's already got a million of them, so it's working down the numbers.
That is true. Let us follow the Chinese model on this one. Well, look, this drives me crazy because it drives me crazy that people still believe this shit. This also, as people know, was literally what got me in like this down this whole path that leads me to be the libertarian Tupac today. Was Ron Paul in 2007 just breaking down what motivated terrorism at the Republican debate and Rudy Giuliani losing his shit and everyone not being able to handle it, even though Ron Paul was making such a fucking, like, such an ironclad case for what's going on. And the interesting thing is that what Ron Paul was saying back then was that we should listen to our enemies. And that, and then of course everyone has to conflate that with being like, oh, so you support our enemies or you agree with our enemies. But it's like, well, no, if you're not a fucking moron, like, how else do I have to say this? If you're not a fucking moron, you understand that there's value in listening to your enemy to understand what they're telling you. And to play this, like, guessing game about what their motives are when your enemy's over here going, here, these are my motives. Like, she goes, well, their you know, religion or their Islamic, you know, fundamentalism is what led to the declaration of war. I mean, okay, if you believe that, then go read bin Laden, who issued a declaration of war against the United States of America. And it, anyway. But
it's like a guy who has a suicide note and he says, well, I can never get my meds life right and I don't want to continue living. And they're like, well, the Giants lost.
Yeah, right. Like, and then you're like, he never mentioned the Giants. So the other thing that, of course, you know, like, is particularly infuriating about Tulsi Gabbard saying this is that Tulsi Gabbard is one of the leading kind of anti-war proponents in the country. And so the fact that, you know, it's such a sad state of affairs where the only person in 2020 who ran a campaign centered around the issue of not fighting regime change wars, which was her campaign, still gets this all wrong and just gets it so profoundly wrong. And this is the real problem with Tulsi Gabbard, is that, like, she's really not, she's not good on the war on terrorism. She's really good about not wanting to fight wars for terrorism. I will give her that. And that's really why Tulsi Gabbard seems pretty good if you're an anti-war person. Because you go, oh, yeah, she's like really passionately against the war in Syria, the war in Libya, the war in Yemen. Because we're fighting on the side of the terrorists there. And she's like, what the hell are we doing? And she's smart enough to know the shirts versus the skins and, like, know who's who. Right? So she's like, no, we're not supposed to be fighting on the Sunni side of this. We're supposed to be fighting on the Shiite side of this to kill the Sunni radicals who attacked us on 9/11. But the problem is we don't want to fight those wars either, because those wars are actually, first off, they're what led to the fucking wars on behalf of the Sunnis. And also, really, that mentality is what actually led to 9/11. And it, like, look, the thing is this, right? I'm not arguing that Osama bin Laden wasn't an Islamist, right? Like, that's not the argument. It's just that, look, he certainly claimed to be a devout Muslim. And a lot, you know, I'd say all of the bin Ladenites all claim to be devout Muslims. Now, I mean, you could look at the fact that, like, those fucking hijackers were, like, going to strip clubs
and
getting drunk. Bin Laden had porn, like, all this shit. Like, you could look at some of that stuff and maybe question, like, how devout were they really? But even all of that aside, if you listen to what bin Laden said, he had very specific grievances. And the grievances were about they were about American foreign policy. And I really think it's just undeniable that this is not, whether or not this is what, like, whatever motivated bin Laden, what motivated people to be, like, be willing to suicide bomb themselves or fly planes into buildings or all of this stuff. The reason why he was able to recruit people was in reaction to American foreign policy. And what bin Laden talked about in his declaration of war, as Scott Horton says, read it and weep. Everyone who has this narrative, just read it. Just read what he had to say. And he goes on and on about his major grievances were that we had military bases in Saudi Arabia, which is their holy land. And that he thought of this as an affront to the religion, right? Okay, so not completely removed from being religious, but a little bit of a different element in there too. Not just, oh, I'm a crazy religious person, but, like, we don't like your presence here. And the fact that the Saudi dictatorship, the royal family that we prop up, allowed this to happen in Saudi Arabia, and that we used those bases to launch the brutal bombing campaigns and sanctions of Iraq pre-George W. Bush's war in Iraq. We're talking about under George H.W. Bush and under Bill Clinton, which led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and, according to some studies, hundreds of thousands of children. So that was a major one. propping up Israel in their ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians, bombing campaigns, propping up dictatorships all around the Muslim world, several, you know, but it was all about American foreign policy. And, you know, by the way, another thing to focus on is that, you know, since 9/11, there's been dozens of what are known as FBI sting operations, which are more accurately described as FBI entrapment operations, where you know how they do this shit, right? Like they go around to young Muslim kids and young adults, I should say, and try to convince them to become a terrorist, to commit some terrorist act. They catch them in the act, stop it, and then arrest them. And then they get to brag about how we've thwarted all these terrorist attacks.
But really, maybe.
But the one thing worth noting is that in every one of these, when our own FBI tries to entrap one of these people into a terrorist organization, do you know what they say to them? They never go to them and start quoting verses from the Quran and talking about like the extreme, you know, like their religion and how the religion tells them to fucking, you know, commit this fucking, you know, jihad against the infidels or something. What they talk to them about is American foreign policy. Like even they know that in order to recruit these people, you got to talk about how our foreign policy kills women and children in their homeland. And the idea of like downplaying this, I was saying this before, it's like if you were to like kill someone's kid and then they come back and kill one of your kids and you're like, what motivated that attack? And you're like, he's a nut. I think it's his religion. And then that if that guy was a very religious guy, I suppose there's something plausible there. You could be like, yeah, he's always talking about his religion. And you're like, you're really just going to leave out the part where you killed his kid? Like, doesn't that just seem like that probably had something to do with what happened here? Like a really big part of what had like happened? And so that's what Tulsi Gabbard's doing. It's completely leaving all of this out. The idea that we think we like that as if history started on 9/11, and that it was just, we were just so damn awesome and they were just so damn Muslim, and that's why terrorism, you know, it just happens that way. And this isn't to say, this isn't a defense of Islam or any other religion, but this isn't saying that there's no poisonous ideas in Islam. I don't know. Sure. There's poisonous ideas in almost every ideology and every religion and every, you know, like nothing's perfect, but I mean, come on, man. If you're going to talk about the motivating factors, to leave all of that stuff out. And, you know, Michael Scheuer, who was the CIA, the head of the Bin Laden unit, like he was I think, over 25 years in the CIA. This was a guy running operations. His whole mission was to get Bin Laden. He did not give a shit. He would kill whoever needed to be killed, go do it. He was a guy who would follow whatever orders. And he's also not at all like a bleeding heart libertarian. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a guy who's like, the CIA should be abolished or something like that. He's a guy who's like, you tell me who to kill and who not to kill. And if that's in our best interest, I'll do that. Let's get some
more trans people to do it.
Yeah. No, he's not that guy. He's definitely not that guy. And he's a bit of a kook himself, too. But even he said, he was like, look, here's the reality of the situation. Us, like, propping up Israel and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Qatar and all these countries, he goes, this comes with a price to be paid. And so his position was always like, he just looked at it like purely, almost the way the way you would think in a book, like the CIA should look at things. He was like, hey, boss, like politicians, you're the boss. If you tell me that price is worth it, then fine. Let's support Israel forever and we'll pay that price. But this is the price. I'm just telling you the information that this is the price that comes with it, is terrorism. As Pat Buchanan said, terrorism is the price of empire. And if you do not wish to pay it, you have to end the empire. That's it. In the same way that, you know, the Irish were terrorists when they were being dominated by the British. I don't think there was a lot of radical Islam in Ireland at the time, but I'm not sure. I have to double check on that. There might have been. All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there was a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, be better? There is, and if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditation in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. If you're overwhelmed, Headspace has 3-minute SOS meditation for you. If you need some help falling asleep, Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditation you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. So you got to check this out. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/POTP. That's headspace.com/POTP for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditation for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. All you got to do is go over to headspace.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. So anyway, the major problem here, right, is that if you don't recognize the causation of terrorism and you want to fight a war on terrorism, well, then you have a real issue, because you're going to be fighting this war for quite a while if you're going to continue doing the thing that causes it to begin with. And it's crazy to me that 20 years later, people still have to figure this out, which is the most obvious thing that any human could understand. And as I've said before, it's not even like it takes that much thinking to understand it, because the people who are arguing this are acting out the exact same thing. They're going, oh, we got hit on 9/11, therefore we got to go hit them back. And you go, but a bunch of innocent people are going to die when you hit them back. And you're like, well, we got to hit them back. Doesn't matter, because they hit us. And you're like, oh, okay. So that same impulse. And then realize that they got a whole bunch of 9/11s before 9/11. Thus,
way more after.
And way more after. And so, but that's the thing, right? And so, you know, anyway, it's just frustrating to see even someone like Tulsi Gabbard get this whole thing so wrong. So wrong.
I think she's got it right. She's like, listen, we don't need to worry about the regime change.
Yeah.
We just have to worry about the changing them from one form of Islam to another. But if we can go into the countries and take them over without changing the regime and just changing the religion, then we can take care of this terrorism issue.
Right. Right.
And it can come back because they're still radical Islamists. So.
But, you know, the funny thing is, like, as Scott Horton has pointed out a lot of times, where he goes, even, you know, you have whatever it is in the world. I think there's 1.3 or maybe 1.6 billion Muslims.
So we got to get
rid
of some of them. That's
lot. Yeah.
I mean, they're really outpacing us Jews.
Oh, yeah.
Someone should step in and...
they're leaving the Jews in the dust. But some people have already gotten a lot of the Jews for them. They got a head start. But so even at the height of the Islamic State, when they really had, I mean, a substantial, you know, a caliphate, I mean, they had like an area, I think, the size of Great Britain that was controlled by ISIS there in Western Iraq and Eastern Syria. And even then, when they had this caliphate and they called, you know, on every good Muslim to come join, they had maybe like, I think substantially under 100,000.
And a couple at the really height of dumb sluts from other countries.
Yes. And like four really dumb chicks who never quite made it there from America and England. But that was it. And the vast majority of them were just like local militia guys and shit like that. It wasn't even like, oh, they were really driven by like this ideology. It was just kind of what was convenient there. But if you're talking about this appeal of radical Islam, it's not like Muslims from all over. Even your average Wahhabist was like, yeah, we're not going and getting involved with this thing. They may believe some like radical, you know, fundamentalist things, but they weren't going to get into the idea. Pat Buchanan was saying this before, is that they really did, like, the Bush administration, which is what Tulsi's totally buying into, really did almost try to sell it like as if Osama bin Laden stumbled upon the Bill of Rights in the sand somewhere and just was like, freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, a speedy trial. I will kill these people. Like, we were just awesome, and they were just so against it that they came over. I mean, come on, man. It's not like, doesn't it fuck with anyone? These just like basic things where you're like, okay, we were attacked by a bunch of pissed off Saudis and Egyptians. Oh, we happen to prop up dictatorships in both those countries. Like, just that piece of information right there. And you go like, oh, and also, by the way, this was the same group of people who we funded and armed and trained on how to lure an empire into an unwinnable war and bankrupt them. It must be that they're so Muslim. I guess that must be the problem. They just got this crazy religion. Now, again, this isn't a defense of the religion. It's not a it's not saying that there'd be no violence in the world if we didn't intervene there. I'm saying, but in this specific situation, like, it's so... And to your point, which, like, you're kind of getting at through humor, that it's like, if you focus on the religion, well, what can we really do about that? Pretty much nothing. But if you focus on the policies that are so obviously contributing to this, oh, well, what can we do about that? Oh, everything.
Not killing
because
kids.
We can stop doing it, right? I always say this, and I'll leave it on this, and I'll never, I'm sorry, until everyone's fucking agreed with me that I'm right about this and you're wrong because I'm right about this and you're wrong. I'll just say it like this, right? And this is, I know I've used this example before, but I've never heard a good retort to it ever, okay? All you have to do is, and this is, of course, Ron Paul's original point that he said in that Giuliani moment, right? Is he said, what would we do if this was happening to us? And it's all you have to do is just imagine it. I mean, just imagine if fucking, you know, like when Trump was elected, you know, or people were like, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote or whatever. But let's just say that fucking Hillary Clinton won the popular vote and the Electoral College. Or let's, you know what? I'll make it better yet. So I do this all the time, but make it better yet. Make it Trump.
She had Biden's foresight to cheat.
The people say that, let's say the people who say that Biden stole the election, that he didn't really win. Well, let's just say that, like, there's no question it happened to the point that they told you Donald Trump won this election. They just told you the votes. Oh, Donald Trump won this election by 30 million votes. And Donald Trump was sworn in as president, and he's about to start his second term as president, right? And then China rolled in, overthrew Donald Trump, said, we are now installing Joe Biden as dictator of the country. And he's not doing vaccine passports. He's just straight up a brutal dictator. And then China starts, you know, they bomb Texas and kill, you know, tens of thousands of children there. They put sanctions on the regime. So we're just completely impoverished now. And they're just ruling over us, this Chinese style government ruling over the United States of America, having overthrown and, you know, publicly hung Donald Trump, your duly elected president. What do you think right wing militias in this country would be doing to Chinese people? Do you think that they wouldn't be fucking attacking the shit out of them? Do you think they wouldn't be throwing fucking Molotov cocktails, maybe even strapping a bomb to their chest? Now, by the way, do you think maybe they'd yell something about Jesus while they were doing it? Do you think maybe they'd grasp onto their religion and be like, in the name of Jesus, I will kill all you motherfuckers who came over here and just destroyed my family? Now, if you were to look at that and say, you know what the problem is here? They're religious. They're just religious nuts. Is that really? Like, and so if you can argue to me honestly that you don't think we would do the same fucking thing, can you tell me you wouldn't do the same thing? Because if we would, then what are we even talking about with this religious argument? It's all just a distraction. All right, Rob, you wouldn't do it. But men would do it.
I would just try and pee in their sodas.
Rob's because you guys got the suicide bombs. Okay, I'm working on a side project here, but I'll meet up unless it's late. I'm tired. I woke up early.
And you can do that a lot before they even bust you. And you know they keep thinking the Coca-Cola is a little too tacky, but maybe that's just the way it tastes in this country.
Oh yeah, they're not from around here.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't know. It's just like, oh dude, that's how we do Coke. You guys do Coke a different way. Don't worry about it. All right. Anyway, moving on. I can't believe I still have to fucking make this case after all these years. But you know what? When like the person who's like the leading anti-war voice is still saying this shit, I still got to make this case. Okay. So we have some other topics. some that were pretty good. There's two videos that that I wanted to play. This is related to COVID shit. And this first one, let's play the one that I sent you first, and then we'll play Rob's, the one that Rob sent you with Fauci. So this one first, this was in the UK, and I found this interesting because it was kind of it was like from one of these, like, you know, news talk shows, and they're interviewing one of their health official people, and it was just like a kind of a moment of honesty where I think the reporters, not coming from any ideological position other than just being establishment reporters types, but even they just had a few questions that seemed to not make sense to them. And yeah, let's take a look, because none of this shit makes sense.
There were 2,656 cases. There were 18 deaths, and there were 218 hospital admissions. We know that after that date, there was a lockdown in November, and there was another third national lockdown in January. So take the same day this year, cases more than 10 times as many. 29,173. Deaths three times as many, 56. Hospital admissions, over 1,000. So we're looking at withdrawing the restrictions at a time when we're in a far worse position than we were this time last year.
Can we just underline those extraordinary figures?
Yeah.
18 deaths on the 12th of September last year, 56 deaths same day this year. As you say, hospital admissions massively up. I thought vaccines had sorted this out.
We've vaccinated 65% of the population. If you bear in mind that we're not vaccinating children, only 65% of the population have been vaccinated.
Whoa, you got to pause already.
There are millions of people who are unprotected.
Holy shit. Just off the bat, holy shit. So he's saying... He's saying if you deduct kids out, we've already gone to 65% of the population.
No. He's saying with kids, 65. England without kids is like 80%.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So if you include kids, yeah.
Right. But kids don't need to be vaccinated because they're not getting sick, right? Yeah. So he's saying that...
He's desperately finding a way to blame it on something.
Right. But the point being that, like you just pointed out, probably 80% of people that could get sick are currently vaccinated.
And you'd have to imagine, by the way, that the ones who are high risk are probably much more likely to be vaccinated, because that's kind of how this works.
Right. So just getting to what you're pointing at with this video is that if this vaccine's working really well and 80% of the people that needed the protection of the vaccine has gotten the vaccine, why are the hospitals as filled as they were at the beginning of this?
That's right. And just to be clear, because it's not like they're coming from the right position. These guys on this Good Morning Britain show or whatever are just being honest enough in the moment to say the obvious thing, which is we locked down the third national lockdown and now the numbers are worse and we're not doing a lockdown. Now, that doesn't make sense. Now, they're almost kind of indicating that the answer would be to do another lockdown. But, of course, you could just as easily apply that logic to saying, we never should have locked down before if we don't have to lock down right now. So, but they're just going through this like, yeah, how are things getting worse? Well, I thought the vaccines were supposed to help. And he's like, well, you got to look at this. If you include kids, they aren't, you know, we're only 65% rather than the 80%. But then it's like, okay, but go look at the numbers. How many of the people getting, like, hospitalized and dying are kids? Oh, right. Basically an insignificant amount. So that's not a fucking answer at all. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can skip trips to the post office and save on postage. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer, send letters, ship packages, and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS and UPS. Stamps.com saves businesses thousands of hours and tons of money every year. Stamps.com brings all the same U.S. Postal and UPS shipping services right to your computer. They make it easy for small businesses to mail and ship without needing to take a trip to the post office. You can print official U.S. postage and shipping labels 24/7 without having to leave your desk or buy any fancy equipment. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving nearly 1 million small business owners like you time and money. They offer deals you can't get anywhere else, up to 40% off USPS and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. And with their switch and save feature, you can quickly compare carriers to find the best rates every time. So stop wasting time going to the post office. Go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code PROBLEM, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale, all with no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in PROBLEM. That's stamps.com, and the promo code is PROBLEM. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. All right, let's get back into the show.
Okay, so let's keep playing.
Only 65% of the population have been vaccinated, which means that there are millions of people who are unprotected, totally unprotected.
Totally.
What this means is we're going to see large numbers of cases. We're currently seeing about 30,000 cases, far more than we saw this time last year.
But you think with the amount of vaccines that have been given, the figures would be going down. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem to make any logical sense.
We're seeing infections in younger people who aren't vaccinated, largely. Mm. So we're seeing... cases rise, so we're going to see hospitalizations increase.
Let's just pause again, okay? Another thing you have to keep in mind, this is just what you have to keep in mind throughout the entire COVID regime, because it helps you see through a lot of this bullshit. The way that they interchange different measuring devices, right? So what the hosts initially quoted to them from a year ago to now in the UK were the number of hospitalizations and the number of deaths and how they're up from a year ago. And then what he says in his response here is that, well, we're seeing a surge in cases amongst younger people. But cases were not what we were talking about, were they? It's like all of a sudden then you switch to measuring cases of COVID rather than hospitalizations and deaths. So he might be right that there's cases in younger people. That still doesn't explain the problem.
Let's understand, cases isn't irrelevant. If it was a cold and everyone was getting it and nobody died or went to the hospital, we wouldn't care about cases.
If we're talking about cases where people are either asymptomatic, mildly symptomatic, or quickly recover, you could even argue a good thing. Given that we have to deal with this virus anyway, you'd like to see a lot of cases where people beat it easily, because then you come out. Look, everybody's probably had this experience since COVID has happened, where you feel like maybe a little bit sick or something and then get over it. And what do you think in your mind? You're like, oh, I hope that was it. I hope that was COVID and I beat it that easy and it didn't hit me hard and now I have some antibodies for it. Like, that's what you want. So obviously no one wants to get very sick, but even if you just get very sick for like a couple days and then have a full recovery, in some ways you feel better, because then you're like, all right, well, now at least I fucking got, you know, I have resistance to this. But what was a great thing that one of the hosts there said was at a certain point he just made, this makes no logical sense. And because obviously it doesn't. Look, what this guy is saying is that, well, a year ago, he goes, no one was vaccinated. Now 80% of the adult population is vaccinated and cases are going up. And he's like, well, still 20% aren't vaccinated. And you're like, yeah. But if vaccines work, and a year ago you had no one vaccinated, and this year you have 80% of people vaccinated, then logic would indicate that the problem would be less, not more.
You see,
and this is a big problem for the whole narrative around this shit, is that there are these countries like Israel, like the UK, incredibly highly vaccinated countries, where their numbers are not going in a good direction. And to me, this is like as big of a glaring problem as the lockdown countries and states not doing any better than the ones who didn't lock down. Like, as soon as you see that, you're like, that blows up your whole narrative. If these vaccines are so good, then the countries who have had higher percentages of vaccinations must be doing better than the other ones. And they must be doing better than they were before that people were getting vaccinated. If they're not, that just on its face, that destroys the entire argument. Like, it's just, there's no other explanation here.
Well, with all due respect, Dave, I don't think you understand the science of this. And it's that the people that were vaccinated, they just haven't taken enough vaccine yet.
Yeah.
And those that are getting sick that are vaccinated, they would have gotten sicker. And so once you understand those elements and you put those variables in, then you realize that the strategy is actually working really well.
Yeah, it really is something is that that is really, and it's no exaggeration. I mean, I know you're being funny, but it's not an exaggeration. Like, that is the logic. It's like that here, they're like, well, here's how I can, it's circular logic is what it is. It's here's how I can win the argument. We're going to start with the assumption that I'm right guaranteed and then work back from that. And so since we know the vaccines solve the problem, well, then obviously what we need is more vaccines. And since we know that lockdowns mitigate the virus, then what we need is more lockdowns. It's like this is what we're dealing with now. Yeah, it's really something to watch. All right, let's just play the rest of this clip. I'm not sure there was anything else good here, but
I can see why kids would get it more, but then they're not very much at risk from COVID. Why do we have 56 deaths on the 12th of September this year, a couple of days yesterday, and 18 last year? Why has it gone up?
Just the number of cases, sheer number of cases. If you have more cases, you're going to have more hospitalizations, you're going to see more deaths. Delta variant is still out there. It's not changed. So the implications of a serious infection with COVID-19 are worse with the more number of cases that you have. And simple as that. So I'm surprised that they are abandoning all restrictions across the board so quickly. One of which is to not detain people who are infectious.
Well, I mean, you might be surprised that they're abandoning restrictions. I am thrilled that they are. Thank freaking God. And perhaps one of the reasons why they're doing this is because there's so much pressure from people to abandon these restrictions. And perhaps the reason why there's so much pressure from people to abandon restrictions is because what you're saying makes zero fucking sense. And even people like, you know, it's easy to talk about how dumb fucking people are, and we all are a bunch of dummies, but people are not this dumb that they can't figure that out. That they can't figure out that, like, look, man, even, like, what I was saying before about, like, there are these things on its face that, it's a little bit oversimplistic for me to say, right? Because theoretically, there could be other factors that led to something, you know, like, okay, let's say the vaccines really do work and 80% of the vaccinated get, you know, or 80% of the population gets vaccinated and cases are, and deaths are going up. There could theoretically be other factors that are leading to that. But you got to have an answer or at least a theory of what that might be. And this guy's, well, there's more cases, more people. And then when he's throwing out, well, the young people aren't vaccinated. Like, no. They're not driving hospitalizations and deaths, motherfucker. There's been no time through COVID anywhere in the freaking world where young people have been driving hospitalizations and deaths. That's just not true. So what's driving this? And then you're going to say, well, it's the 20% of people who are unvaccinated. That's what's driving it. It's like, okay, yeah, but you had 100% of that last year. So what is it? What could possibly be the explanation here? And this guy's offering nothing.
A better liar would say that's why more people have to go get vaccinated. The Delta variant is more dangerous. And while there are less people that are at risk when they become infected, they're getting sicker. Problem is there's evidence against that. So Yes. Then here's what you say. Here's the best lie. You go, what's happening is the 20% that decided to get not vaccinated, generally speaking, are less intelligent individuals and they're also less healthy. And since they're not the type of people that will listen to us and listen to the doctors, they are getting sicker when they get sick. And so I encourage anyone out there who's been reluctant to listen to us to finally change their ways.
Now, of course,
he's not smart enough to lie this way.
But now that is a better lie. But again, the problem with that lie is it just doesn't account for the numbers being higher after 80% of the adult population gets vaccinated. Because that 20%, unless you're saying they magically got dumber and more unhealthy over the last year, they were still just as dumb and just as unhealthy last year. And really, if anything, you'd think like COVID has only pushed in the direction of taking out a lot of those people already, right?
Right.
So if anything, if they've been in the same state for the last year, you'd think the natural process would be to kind of correct for that and go down anyway, right? But it's just not the case. And so no one's really got anything to say here except in many countries, this mass push to force vaccinations on people. And it does make one start to wonder why exactly that is. And it seems that one likely possibility is that just like with the original trials, What do you do if you force vaccinations on everyone? You eliminate the control group. It does seem like that might be part of the thing here, is that if you make everyone get vaccinated, all of a sudden there's no more control group. And now, and this goes, this also plays right into what you've been saying for months now about not making the data available and not make, letting us really look at the control group versus the vaccinated, right? In the same ways that if you get rid of, let's say you were able to force whoever the holdouts were, you know, Sweden and Japan and South Dakota and Florida, if you were able to force them to lock down too, well, then we really don't have nearly as strong an argument to say lockdowns don't work. Because, well, now what the fuck? I mean, we all have lockdowns. So, who, you know, how do you really say? So it's very important to these guys that they eliminate the control group, which disproves their entire fucking thing. All right. Let's go to the next video, which is a video of Fauci, which this was really, really something. And it's something that I've been asking for well over a month now on the show. I've been making this point, or not even making a point, but asking a question that makes a point. And this isn't like I'm taking credit for it. This is an obvious question to ask. It's not like I'm some fucking genius for asking this question. I'm a genius for other reasons, but not for asking this question. But I was saying, and I use you as the example. I go, someone like Rob, who just what a month ago had COVID, beat it.
And AIDS.
And AIDS. But that aside, that's a whole separate thing. You've beaten AIDS several times, which is, it's unbelievable. Rob is the first person in the world to have AIDS, beat AIDS, get it again, beat it again, get it again, and live with it. It's unbelievable that you were able to do that. Managing symptoms these days. But you had COVID, in seriousness, you had COVID a month ago. You're sick for a few days, recover. Like you would expect someone in your position, get a little bit sick, recovered. You are now in a position where you're just coming off beating it and being healthy again. By, let's say there's an enormous amount of evidence that you right now have stronger protection than the vaccine would offer you. And the question I pose simply is, what scientific argument is there that you should get the vaccine? In your position. And I also use you as the example because you're obviously far from the only one. Like lots of people who have had COVID recently and beat it clearly have antibodies. You know, like these are people who almost certainly have stronger protection than the vaccine offers you. And I don't care, by the way, whoever asserts the opposite, it's just not true. Look into this. There is strong evidence that natural immunity is stronger than the vaccines, and in fact, much stronger than the vaccines. And there have been some people who have tried to argue the opposite. Just so you know, natural immunity is almost always stronger than vaccine immunity in almost anything you can think of. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Bambi. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, all things I don't really think should exist, but they do. And an HR manager's salary, they're not cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business. And they help you manage your employees day to day, all for just $99 a month. It's month to month. There's no hidden fees, and you can cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. And you can do that by going to Bambi.com/POTP right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com, Bambi.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. Anyway, that being said, I asked the question, what is the case for them? And for the first time that I remember, Dr. Truth Science, Anthony Fauci, was asked this question that me and you and lots of thinking people have been posing. So let's throw it over to Dr. Fauci.
And just real quickly, There was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity. And basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected. And now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that. That's something that we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response. The one thing the paper from Israel.
Okay, before we get into what he says with the durability of the response, how do you initiate a public policy for the entire country mandating that you have to get something if, when asked the question point blank, you say that's a question that we have to consider?
And the funny thing is that this is just, again, look, I know it's easy to get distracted about this because, you know, I have such a way with words, and because we're right about everything, that you think of us as some type of experts or that the people who are so on point when it comes to politics. But we're a couple of dumbass fucking comedians. I'm not asking this question every fucking episode because I'm some fucking genius it's the most obvious question in the fucking world. It's like the question to ask right now. Obviously. Well, there are people who have natural immunity. What is the argument? And we're in this process where the government is forcing people to get this vaccination. And let's not fucking mince words anymore. That's what's going on here. I'm sorry. Like, you get fucking... You could say, well, they're technically not holding you down and forcing it. Yeah, but you can't fucking participate in society. You're coming up on about to be fired by your fucking job if you don't fucking take it. Like, a lot of people already have been forced by their fucking companies, all this shit. So you're forcing people to do something. And this guy, Dr. Hoopta, whatever his name is, he goes, I'm getting calls about this all the time. Because, of course, this describes millions of Americans, right? So, okay, why? And you go, oh, that's a good point. I don't have a good answer for that. Really, that's what you've got to respond to? The guy, the point guy on this, who's leading the fucking charge, basically just goes, I got nothing. I got nothing for you. But now, let me squirm for a few minutes, yeah, trying to come up with a fucking, some BS justification.
Well, then you're not allowed to create public policy with the mandate. You're not. Because, like you said, firstly, it's pretty clear that he's just put on the spot and he's got no choice but to try and lie his way out of it because he can't say point blank, it makes no sense. He's not allowed to say that. Oh, I have to consider that. This has never come up in a meeting. This has not come up once. And if it's something that you haven't addressed and it's this painstakingly obvious, then you're not allowed to institute a public policy for the entire country. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, it's unbelievable. Oh, that's something we got to think about. Yeah, we really should come back to that. Yeah, that's something you guys should have already thought about and have an answer for right now. But the answer, here's the thing, is that he can't give you the answer. But we all know the answer. There's no reason to get the vaccine if you've had it. If you've had it and beat it, you have stronger protection than the vaccine offers you. So don't fucking get it. That's it.
And Rand Paul, and I believe Thomas Massey, have brought this up more than once.
Yes.
Why aren't we doing an antibody test? Oh, that should be just as good.
Thomas Massey actually said, which I thought was a great thing, when they asked him if he's vaccinated, and he goes, no. And as soon as someone can give me a good argument why someone who has beaten it and has natural immunity should get the vaccine, then I'll do it.
Half the time he's like, I'm not a doctor, but I did get an MIT degree in data science, so I can read data.
Yeah. It's like, I can read data. Yeah. Like, he's like, I'm fucking, like, I'm basically, which is a funny thing where he goes, he's just like, I'm smarter than all of you. So I'm just going to let you know that I'm smart enough to know that you're not fucking fooling me with this. So here is Fauci's squirm, pathetic, even after admitting he's got no answer for this. But here's his pathetic attempt at an answer.
Regarding the durability of the response, the one thing the paper from Israel didn't tell you is whether or not, as high as the protection is with natural infection, what's the durability compared to the durability of a vaccine?
Okay, so pause again for a second. How can we compare it to the durability of the vaccine if, by the latest research, they don't know?
Yeah.
They're not sure whether or not to have boosters. So
yeah,
what comparison can we make?
Well, the durability of the vaccine, Rob, is a lot like gender. It's very fluid. Okay? But this is really the truth, right? So the durability of the vaccine, according, since we're talking about Israel, which was the Pfizer vaccine, is what they're using. Well, it was years, a few months ago. Now it's like 6 months. You know, who knows what it's going to be in a few months. So they, yes, you're right that this, but again, this isn't, what's so frustrating about this is he goes, what the paper didn't tell you is about the durability between natural immunity and the vaccine. And that is true. The particular paper that they're citing did not comment on that. But that's not an argument that the vaccine has more durability. So now you're just going to force people to get the injection on the, well, maybe this is better. So all indications we have is that you have better protection than the vaccine offers you. But I still want you to take the vaccine because
maybe
it's more. And by the way, the vaccine that we're talking about in Israel, which is the biotech, is the Pfizer vaccine. What they're saying right now is 6 months. And just to be clear on this, so
at 15 times greater immunity, it should be good for at least 3 years.
Well, they'll say durability and immunity are not exactly the same thing. So you can have much stronger immunities, but it can wane. So again, Fauci's not completely wrong to say we don't know, but we don't know doesn't lead to government mandates. Government mandates, you would think, would have to be predicated with we do know. And we know so much that now we're going to mandate it. But instead, we're going to fucking just go, eh, maybe. But the problem with this is, right, so just to understand this, right? So Israel is saying, they're saying that the Pfizer vaccine has 6 months of immunity, that's what it gives you. This is based off nothing other than the fact that vaccinated people were getting sick and hospitalized about 6 months after they gave out the vaccines. I just want you to understand how that logic works. So that does not actually clearly indicate that the vaccine gives you 6 months of protection. It could just as easily indicate that the vaccine doesn't give you very good protection against the Delta variant. It's just if you want to use the circular logic that we're starting from the position of knowing for a fact that the vaccines are perfect and great and everything's awesome, well, then when a vaccinated person gets real sick, you go, well, they must have been perfectly great and awesome up until that day. But there's no evidence of that. We don't fucking know. I happen to know, I mean, this is just anecdotal. It doesn't fucking prove anything. But I know somebody who got COVID in, I think, April of 2020, wiped out, got very, very sick. Was wiped out, recovered, and tested positive for antibodies for a year and a half after getting it. Kept taking the test, kept testing positive for antibodies. They couldn't believe it. Kept testing positive. And there's a lot of like T-cell immunity and stuff like that that you can't really test for. So again, he's not wrong that we don't know, but what if we're asking like such an important, obvious, crucial question, where you, even the official science, can't give you a reason why this whole class of people should get vaccinated, right? And then his answer is, well, I don't have a good answer for that, but, you know, maybe the vaccine's better. That's the head guy, Dr. Truth Science. That's his response.
I also think if you believe in the idea that government should have emergency powers, right, that there are certain situations that are so grave that government needs to step in and rectify this terrible situation. I think we probably need a law on the books. What actually constitutes an emergency? I don't think this does. And do they have a response that they know for sure will work? Very clearly, they don't. So this is walking proof of the fact that if you thought there was a good idea of giving government emergency powers, we clearly shouldn't, because that will either be abused or they're too dumb to know when we should constitute that something's an emergency and when do we actually have something that will work, because they don't. They literally don't know. We have a non-emergency on our hands that they've said, hey, this is an emergency. We got to shut down the country and we've got a plan for it. And they don't have a plan for it. This is the perfect example for why you can't give these kind of powers over to government, because they'll abuse it every time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's that's really the whole thing right there, is that once you take these emergency powers, you see how unbelievably easy it is for them to just find any excuse and just still enforce things. And then it's like they have all of these rationalizations that are bullshit that we can like out argue, you know, and they're like, oh, here's the justification. And you're like, no, here are all the holes in this justification. And then when they don't even have Like when they don't even have an argument to present, he just goes, "Eh, I ain't got nothing for that." All right, we're still gonna do it, and that's it. And just like we're just still gonna do it, even though I have nothing.
How can you take how can you take away my freedoms to walk into a restaurant right now down the street when the guy who's supposed to be instituting the policy just said, "I don't know"?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to tell me I can't walk in here. And then you tell, like, if you were to tell that guy, "Hey, listen, I just listened to Fauci on the news and he said I'm as safe as anybody." You're a conspiracy theorist. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Or maybe I'm the one guy who actually watches all this shit.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, how do you strip somebody's freedom when the guy who's supposed to be the person, most well-paid guy in all of government, I think he makes $900,000 a year. He's supposed to be the one guy. And if you put him on the news, he doesn't have an answer. What right does that restaurant or the government have to tell me my freedom is restricted in any capacity?
And the thing, one of the things that is infuriating that you were just getting at is that it's like with all of these things, they create this class. You know, it's like Malice always said the real danger is the midwits. It's not the guy with an 80 IQ. It's the guy with a 115 IQ who's just smart enough to kind of understand a little and
isn't
feel
really
like he's smart.
Isn't 115 like super high?
No.
Oh, that's how dumb I am.
Yeah. No, you're so dumb that you don't realize you have a higher IQ than that. No, but it's like that guy who's just like, you know, smart enough to go to college and like do this and feel like he's really smart. And there's so many of those midwits around who, once you give them the official narrative, they're very happy to take that and then feel superior to everybody else. So yes, that same person would be like, "Oh, you're an idiot. You're an idiot for not getting the vaccine." And you're like, "Well, here is my very well thought out argument as to why I shouldn't. And let me pose this question now to Dr. Fauci." And he's got nothing. He's got nothing to back it up. It's just, it's disgusting. And, you know, this right here, I mean, just this, I know it's just one little piece of this whole COVID regime shit, but it should just tear apart. The idea that any of this is about following science is just so ridiculous. And it's always been the case.
It is illegal for me currently to go into establishments in the United States of America off a public policy that our chief scientist doesn't know about. Somebody on earth, any senator, please explain this, how we are in a situation right now where it is illegal for me to do basic activities on the basis of our chief scientist going, "Eh, I'm not sure."
Yeah. Now the fuck? How the fuck are we putting up with this? And how much longer are we going to put up with this, man? Because it's just too bananas. And I've seen fine people listening to this show. I've been with you for many years now as we've built up this fine program to be a pretty big show with a lot of people listening. And I've seen a lot of shit over that time. But I've really seen nothing like this. Nothing like this. I mean, even as you're just describing it this way, like to actually hear you say that it's like, yes, right now where we are, you are, I'm not being hyperbolic, a second class citizen. And it's based off nothing. And the top guy can't defend it. Man, that
or
is
even
something.
Try and lie and create propaganda. Like
he
usually
doesn't even have propaganda for it. This is your job. To come up with something. I mean, they're not idiots. Brainstorm. Get together. Come up with the fucking thing.
Usually they can at least be like, it's about public safety and that guy can spread and it's going to do like literally nothing.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up soon, but I wanted to, before we did, I wanted to address this piece in The Atlantic.
Hell yeah.
Because this was another interesting thing, another little bit of this whole thing coming apart. And I was curious about this because I had – so there's a new study. They wrote a piece about this in The Atlantic that went over the people who are hospitalized with COVID. And this one was focused on America. Now, I had mentioned earlier on the show that I had seen there was this thing about the number of kids hospitalized in the UK with COVID. And then there was this study that basically revealed that a huge percentage of these kids were not in the hospital for COVID. But they were in the hospital with COVID, many of whom caught COVID in the hospital. Like a kid who goes to the hospital for some, you know, unrelated, breaks his leg or something, goes to the hospital and ends up getting COVID in the hospital. And now they count that as someone hospitalized with COVID, which, you know, is like factual but not truthful, as Michael Malice would say, you know. So anyway, there was this study done about the number of hospitalizations in America of people with COVID. and they actually looked at who of amongst these people who are in the hospital with COVID, how many of them were not there for COVID, like had either mild symptoms or no symptoms. And they found 50%. 50%. This is, you know, sometimes you see these things that you're like, well, this should be front page of every newspaper. Oh, hey, you know this huge number that we're going off? Well, we found out we were wrong by a factor of 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like, we doubled the number that we should be looking at. Because, of course, like, again, factual but not truthful, when we're talking about COVID hospitalizations, what everyone means by that, or at least what you think in your mind, is someone who was so sick from COVID that they had to go to the hospital. But that's not what's being reported when they're saying people in the hospital with COVID. In fact, what's going on with a lot of these people is they went to the hospital for some unrelated injury. It's like, oh, I fucking broke my collarbone and I'm going to the hospital. And when they're in the hospital, they're like, well, first thing we do is give you a COVID test. It's like, oh, look, you got COVID. And they have no symptoms. Some have mild symptoms. Some people got it in the hospital. But the number, what was so like striking about this was that the number was 50%, half of them were not in the hospital for COVID. So that's just one more thing to throw out. I mean, do with that information what you might. But to me, that makes it seem like you're kind of saying like, oh, the actual pandemic, because again, as you pointed out earlier, which it can't be stressed enough, if you're talking about people who get sick for a few days and then beat it, that is nothing. No one cares. That doesn't mean
That's
anything.
That's actually a lot like getting the vaccine. That's what you're describing, being sick for 3 days after something.
Well, that's right.
That's getting vaccinated for a second vax.
Well, that's exactly right, right? So that's what we're talking about here. So like, is in the same sense that people who are for the vaccine, which by the way, plausibly makes sense if you believed in the vaccines. If you believe in the vaccines and that they're going to end this problem and they give you all this protection and all this, then you'd be like, yeah, okay, getting sick for 3 days is not that big of a deal. Now, it changes a little bit when you have to do it every 6 months for the rest of your life. But let's just say, with the original thought, getting sick for 3 days is not that big of a deal, right?
With increasingly okay. More period blood.
Yeah, and a little bit more period blood. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not that big of a deal. But neither is it on the other end, right? But no one cares about a fucking global pandemic if it's people being asymptomatic. No one cares about it if it's people being mildly symptomatic. No one even cares if it's getting very sick for 4 or 5 days and then beating it. That's not the issue. If we're measuring how bad the pandemic is, it's people being hospitalized and dying, okay? Well, we just found out that the numbers they're going on for hospitalizations, half is bullshit. That is humongous. Now, to be completely transparent, I believe the study just came out and has not yet been peer reviewed, but it looks to be legit. And so that I don't really see what's going to overturn this. They're literally just counting how many of the people in the hospitals were not there because of the COVID or who had mild symptoms or even asymptomatic or people who caught it in the hospital. So that This whole thing is kind of not at all what it seems. But the truth is that, and one of the things that's very, that's a black pill. One of the things that's really frustrating and can lead you to be pessimistic about this is that it's been obvious for a while now that this whole thing is bullshit. I mean, the whole thing that we can just stop. It doesn't have to be this way. We could just stop. We could all, like, if we could just fucking Men in Black flash everyone and erase their memory and let them all think it's fucking 2019 again, we could all just go back to fucking normal life and don't have to do any of this. And by the way, I'm not saying there'd be no virus or there'd be no problems. I'm saying it'd be exactly the same. It wouldn't be any worse to do that. But it's so funny because, like, if you actually wanted to talk about anything, the only thing that actually makes sense to do, right, would be to say, hey, we got it like, and again, there's no government policy that's going to make any fucking difference here. Really, what you got to fucking do is try to create a fucking culture in the same way that you have to persuade people, like, you know, all around. But you have to persuade people, try to be really healthy. Try to be really healthy. There's a two-part strategy that is the best thing to do for COVID. And they both just rely on persuasion. Number one, try to be really healthy. Okay? Really take care of your body, take care of your immune system. Get lots of sun, lots of vitamin D, preferably naturally, but if not, then take the fucking supplements. Eat good, exercise, all of that stuff. And number two, if you feel sick, don't go to work. If you feel sick, don't go to work, don't hang out with people. Get over this whole culture of I'll tough it out and do this. No, 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 just fucking take the day. It's fine. We're all better off if you just take the day. Both those things. Those are the only fucking two things. You try to persuade people to do that. None of these other policies help at all. Masks, fucking vaccines, fucking all this shit. None of this needs to be forced. I mean, you can let people take the vaccine if they want to, but that is not looking great for you.
And just to add one more to your list, it's also imagine that we didn't go the route the vaccine, and we didn't go the route of everything we've done, and we said we need to keep this economy cooking. We need to keep moving on. So there's some other benefits. One, you kind of might get to the herd immunity point where healthy individuals get sick and enough of them get sick and they have natural immunity that we actually hit the herd immunity. You might also have where instead of investing all these resources into vaccines, we start investing resources into actually better testing so that you know whether or not you can go visit your elderly people. Or, hey, everyone's got to go work because now there's more people that need to stay home that the economy needs to support. Or, hey, there is no vaccine, so now we got to figure out filtration systems in every single office. If you just start to understand economics, like if there's a problem and there's a profit incentive to solve that problem, we'll probably come up with some really good solutions.
Yep.
If we lie about what the problem is and we lie about what the solution is, that's socialism. That's why nothing gets solved.
No, absolutely. 100%. It all comes back to like Misesian economics, man. But you're absolutely right. But I will say, just because I mentioned like kind of the pessimistic side, the optimistic side, man, really is that it's like,
you can only lie more, so much, dude.
Yes. Look, you hopefully can only, well, I really do think that it's like what's happening is that it's getting more and more draconian and authoritarian, and more people are seeing what bullshit it is. And that's our best hope. And I'm not just saying that that's happening. Like, both those things are clearly happening. And like, I just, you know, you look at something like that Good Morning Britain clip or this clip with Fauci right here. How could anyone be watching that and not be going, okay. And this is what happens under authoritarian regimes, that ultimately no one buys it anymore. And that's a really important, an important factor. And I shouldn't say no one. Obviously, a lot of people still buy it, but we need more and more people who don't fucking buy it and who are ready to fucking resist. And really, you know, mass noncompliance. It's like, that's what this fucking country needs. A nice heavy dose of mass noncompliance. Okay, we're going to wrap the show there. Good to be back in studio, man.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's fucking fun to do these face-to-face. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Catch you next time. Peace.